At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
That's just a continuation of the fight,
pretty much,
while pretending to be trying to end it. It's the sneakiest thing. And it's just yeah. Lies. It's lies. Don't lie to people.
Chris, I'm sorry you're wrong.
Exactly. I'm sorry I'm wrong too. Welcome to Making Yourself Clear. I'm Chris.
I'm Patrick.
Today we're going to talk about how to apologize.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Not the sorry, not sorry kind of apology. Not the I'm sorry you feel that way kind of apology. Not the I'm sorry you're so wrong about this. There's lots of ways apologies land flat or actually make things worse.
I would say that they're non-apologies.
Those are not apologies. No, they're lies.
Lies that you tell yourself,
they're lies
that you tell others.
They're ways of trying to be right while making it look like you're apologizing. They're kind of the worst kind of lie, where
yeah.
It's like, look how virtuous I am while I do a thing that pisses you off even more.
So we don't want to get defensive. We don't want this to be performative, right? And we don't want it to be a non-apology where it's, oh, I'm sorry that you feel that way.
Right. We're talking about the actual real repairing, restorative, bridge-building, ego-swallowing, empathic apology with the intent of having the other person feel whole.
Yeah.
After a rupture. And then where you invite them back into relationship with you.
That's right. Yeah. So instead of it being about us and relieving that pressure and just feeling better about ourselves, actually, like you said, reconstructing, repairing, building that bridge back, or leaving space for it to happen eventually if that's not where a person is right away.
Yeah. And, you know, preamble here, we've all messed up. Every single living human has messed up at some point. And that's okay. You know, there's a lot to be said for how you repair after the rupture. And even in relationship psychology, they talk about the rupture repair cycle, where there's a fight or an argument or some kind of break in trust or relatedness. And when people come back together and can repair effectively after that, the relationship actually ends up stronger than it was even before the rupture happened.
Yeah.
So this can be, it can be uncomfortable, it can feel awkward, it can be scary, but if it's done well, it's an opportunity to strengthen the relationship and come out of it even stronger than it was before the rupture in the first place.
And there's no relationship that's going to occur with zero issue. You're going to, at some point, come up against something with a person that you're in relationship with. So being able to navigate those waters is important, but equally important is being able to navigate an apology if and when one is required, which most certainly is going to happen.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. So why don't we start with talking about why most apologies fail? Why do they fall flat? Why do they make things worse? How do they go sideways?
I mean, if the first thing is, like we talked about, you know, people show up and they give non-apology apologies or they don't apologize properly or from a place of actual ownership, right? So
let's talk about some of the non-apology apologies, and we can, these will likely ring familiar, but why don't we cover a few of them to get a sense of all of the things that people commonly do that don't work.
Okay. Well, one that I have experienced a number of times is, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Right. I'm sorry you feel that way. So what's wrong with that?
It absolves the person of any actual wrongdoing, and it makes it my fault that I'm feeling a certain way.
Right. It's about your irrational response.
Correct.
Rather than the thing that I did that impacted you.
That's right.
Right. The other thing about it is, an apology is about taking responsibility for something, and no one can be responsible for another person's feelings. Your
right.
feelings are inside of your skin and your nervous system,
yeah.
So I can't, unless I've got like a Neuralink probe and I'm pushing the wrong buttons, I can't control that directly.
Yeah, so it makes it my fault that we had an argument.
There's two things. One is that it's sort of, I'm trying to blame you while apologizing, like I'm sorry you're so irrational, which is sneaky. That's like, it's an insult masked, like hiding behind a fake apology.
Mm-hmm.
But the other piece is, what has an apology work is when it's genuine, when it rings true. And in order for it to ring true, you've you've got to be apologizing for something that you had control over.
Right. Which is not their feelings. It's your actions.
Right. I can control what I said. I can control how I said it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things I can apologize for. I can also apologize for my intention. If I had a shitty intention towards you.
Right.
And that came across in my tone of voice, my word choice, my body language. Yep. I can own all of that. I can also own the impact, even though I don't control how you're impacted by something. That's kind of the next level, is I did the following and I get that led to a certain impact on you. And I can take some responsibility for that, even though I didn't. But that's very different from saying, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah.
It's, I'm sorry I said the thing I said, and I get that you felt that this way in response.
So you're getting an actual understanding of why I'm feeling that way, instead of just saying like, listen, it's bullshit that you're hurt or upset or angry, and I'm sorry that you're angry. There you go. Here's your apology.
The difference is the causality. I'm, with an effective apology, I am owning what I did, and I'm acknowledging the causal link between what I did and how you feel.
That's right.
As opposed to just, I'm sorry you feel that way, which kind of pushes it away, pushes the causality back onto you.
Yeah. So there's your non-apology apology. We've also got defensive apologies.
Mm.
You ever had one of those?
Sure. Yeah. I'm sorry, but you know, in fairness, you were being difficult.
Yeah. Right.
So that's the apology, and then immediately a justification.
Yes.
For why it was right that I did what I did, or why it's still on you that I did the, it's, you're not really owning.
Not really an apology. You're not really owning it. You're saying, you know, listen, if you had not been such a jerk, or if you had just listened to me better, then we wouldn't be having this issue.
Yeah, that's just a continuation of the fight.
Pretty much.
While pretending to be trying to end it. It's the sneakiest thing. And it's lies. Yeah. It's lies. Don't lie to people.
Chris, I'm sorry you're wrong.
Exactly. I'm sorry I'm wrong too.
Yeah. And then we've got your non-apology apology. We've got your defensive apology. There are performative apologies, which are kind of non-apologies as well.
I said sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. What else do you want from me?
What do you want from me?
Yeah.
I said sorry.
Yeah.
With an eye roll and the sarcasm.
Or those really hollow apologies, right? That are not actually apologies. People are just trying to end whatever conversation is happening. Like, if I say sorry, will you shut up?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this the magic incantation that ends the conversation?
Yeah. If I say I'm sorry, will you feel like you've won and thereby end this conversation?
Right. I'm sorry, Patrick.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So the common thread through all of those, there's a few things. One is you're not actually taking responsibility for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And two is there's something disingenuous about it, right? Like you're smuggling
Extremely.
In
yeah.
an intention that is other than the set of intentions that are prerequisite for an effective apology.
Yeah. It's all about, we said, you know, relief versus repair, right? So are you trying to just relieve yourself of any wrongdoing, or are you actually trying to repair the damage that's been done?
Yeah.
So.
And so the fundamental question you want to ask yourself is the apology about you, or is it about them?
Right.
Because if it's about you, either justifying yourself, trying to be right, or even just easing your own conscience, it's still a selfish apology with the focus and the intention on your needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always going to fall flat.
So we would say that a good apology wouldn't be about easing your own guilt. It would be about acknowledging the hurt and then doing what you can to actually repair the relationship.
Yeah. We've all experienced these disingenuous kinds of apologies, mm-hmm. and they leave us feeling either empty, or it falls flat at best. At worst, it makes us even angrier.
Even angrier, yeah.
Right?
That's been my experience.
In contrast, if you've received a really effective apology,
mm-hmm.
it can be really moving. You feel touched and seen and validated.
Yeah. And as you said, it can be the foundation for an even stronger relationship going forward.
And it's deeply healing. And
mm-hmm.
why is it healing? It's because there you are in some state of hurt or betrayal or upset in response to something someone else said or did.
Yeah.
And when they can really show you that they get your experience, they get what they did, and they get how it impacted you.
Mm-hmm.
And when they can state that in their own words and say, like, I did a thing that hurt you, and I get how that made you feel, and I'm really sorry. It's like all of the weight and all of the pain and all the suffering from it, they kind of melt away.
I mean, that's an important part of just communicating in general with people, is just that when you feel seen by someone else, it's truly moving. So
it is. It is. So this is something to keep in mind, right? you're apologizing for them, not for you.
So if we want to apologize properly, right, we don't want it to be a performative apology or an empty apology or a non-apology. If we're looking to create a genuine apology where a person feels understood, felt, heard, and appreciated, and it's genuine, how do we build an apology?
Yeah. So there's some mindset headspace stuff going into it.
Okay.
Recognizing that apologizing requires humility. There's that old, it's an Elton John song, sorry is the hardest word, something like that. This is tough. It requires swallowing your own ego and getting yourself out of the way. But it's easier when you can make it not about you. Like, make it about the other person. Put your attention on them and you're less likely to get hijacked by your own shame, guilt, defenses. It's just recognize the other person is a sentient human being having a full, complete human experience over there.
Yeah.
And you're trying to bridge the gap, get over to their world and speak to them in their experience. And you can get yourself out of the way, get your ego out of the way. Realize that in their life, you're just a supporting character, just right. like they are in yours.
Yeah.
Lose the main character syndrome.
Right.
And get into their world.
So we're going to drop our ego and approach it with actual humility. A lot of times what people get hung up on is, well, I apologized, so now you have to forgive me.
Right.
And there's no entitlement there. You don't get forgiveness just because you apologize. It would be nice, but the apology is, if it comes from a place of, I'm giving this to you so that I get something in return. Like, an apology is not meant to be a reciprocal.
It's not transactional.
Yeah.
It doesn't imply entitlement to forgiveness.
Correct.
Right away or on any particular timeline.
Yeah.
It's, you're just owning what you did and how it impacted the other person for the sake of it. And then it's an invitation
right.
for them to reconnect with you.
Yeah.
And forgive if they choose to. And they will or they won't. We can't control what other people do. And so let it go of your expectations and apologize just because, for the sake of your own integrity, it's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing
And it's the best chance you have of repairing the relationship and having that person be willing to reconnect with you. But you can't force it, and you want to give up the expectation so that you don't feel entitled to it.
I feel like that's a huge pitfall for people, is the expectation of forgiveness.
Yeah.
That's going to be a tough one, but if you can swallow your ego and you can get to a point where you're just offering the apology for the other person, that's a great foundation. It's a great basis to start your apology.
Yeah. So let's break down what is the anatomy of a real apology? Because the good news is there's a structure to it. There are a few key ingredients that if you include them, this is what will make an apology feel complete.
Mm-hmm.
So the first part is ownership. And this is you taking ownership over a couple of things, mainly what you did or said that caused the hurt or the upset in the other person. So you're naming what you did without excuses and without justifications. It's just, I said X or Y, I did this thing.
Right.
No excuses, no justifications. Just name what you did factually and then own the impact, the way that impacted the other person.
So what do we mean when we say impact? We're talking about, I said, I don't like the shirt you're wearing and you got upset. Is that what we're talking about?
So impact can show up in lots of ways. Sometimes it's material, like, I'm sorry I crashed your car and that inconvenienced you and you had to make an insurance claim and all, you know, like, there's physical material impact sometimes.
Yeah.
Oftentimes it's the emotional impact that's the the more substantive.
So you might have been made to feel a certain way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like most of the time when we're apologizing for something, those are the impacts that we're really looking to repair, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you crashed my car. That's upsetting. But the bigger thing is that I trusted you. And now that trust is broken because I said, you know, be careful. Or I said, don't drive drunk. And you did, or whatever, you know,
whatever it was. One that came up for me, I'm going to tell one on myself here, but earlier in my life, I had a nasty habit of being late for things.
Mm.
I'm better at it now, but this was an issue for a while. And my sister is someone who's meticulously punctual. She's never late.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes it seriously because she values and respects other people's time.
Right.
And so, you know, after a fairly long history of being late with her, she kind of lost it on me. And I had to, you know, I had to apologize. Part of the impact was, you know, not just I'm sorry I was late this time, but I'm sorry I have a long history of being late with you. in some cases, we'd made plans together and then I was late. And in the time that I was late, you could have done something else. Like right. if I canceled at the last minute, she could have gone to the gym and she didn't get to have a workout that day.
Right.
So it may have impacted like the practicality of her day.
Right.
Also, I know it has you feel disrespected mm-hmm. and frustrated and angry. And it also hurts your trust in me. So that's other impact is I lose credibility with you and you're now hesitant to make plans with me.
Yeah.
If you don't trust I'm going to show up on time. So there's a few flavors of impact there. There's like practical, emotional, and then the credibility piece, right? And you may have to sit down and think about this and make notes on like, what is the scope of the impact of the thing that I did or failed to do or said?
Yeah.
And the more complete a picture you can paint of what all of that impact is, every time you name a bit of this impact you've had, it's almost like you tap it and it disappears.
Right.
You know, it's like naming it is often enough to... If you don't name that you caused that impact, the other person's left wondering if you know.
Mm.
They know because they felt the impact.
Of course.
So for you to clean the mess up, you're kind of taking inventory of what that mess looks like.
So a good technique here would be to just pause, reflect, and create some ownership, right? Sometimes we don't have time. We apologize in the moment or we're in the middle of a conversation. If you have the time, take the time to reflect, sit down and name the impacts without making excuses for yourself, because that's the other thing that sometimes we do, right? We'll mm-hmm. make excuses. So without excuse, where are the impacts and own them? And here's the other piece is, you know, when you show up late and it impacts your sister, you're not intending to have those impacts. That's
right.
not your intention, but your intentions don't really matter at that point because you've still had those impacts.
When this is a really critical point to make, there's often they call it the intention versus impact gap, right? So sometimes we may say something, you make a joke at a party and someone is hurt by it.
Right.
Now your intention may have had nothing to do with that. It was not even on your radar screen that that offhand comment
you just thought it was funny.
Insult somebody or hurt them, but the impact's there nonetheless. And so you can make that distinction. Like, I am so sorry. I was not my intention
right.
for that comment to be hurtful, but I get that it was.
Yeah.
And if your intention was to be hurtful, then you want to own that too.
Sure.
You know what? I said that nasty thing. And in the moment, I wanted to hurt your feelings. And that was nasty.
Mm-hmm.
So if you did have a hurtful intent, definitely own that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If you didn't have a hurtful intent, then don't own something you didn't do.
Yeah.
But own the impact anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Don't dwell on the fact that that wasn't your intention, because that doesn't matter at this particular point.
Right.
The impact is the impact. So whatever the impact is, own it, be aware of it, and yeah, bring it to the table.
Now, there's another nuance here too, which is don't apologize unless you mean it, right? This isn't a formula that you can follow like by rote. If you say something and in your view, like no reasonable person could possibly take offense at that, and yet somebody did, and like in your world, that's really a them problem,
mm-hmm.
then that may not be something you can authentically apologize for, in which case don't.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, that goes back to our very first, I'm apologizing just to shut you up and end
just
this
conversation. Just to shut you up. Yeah. Like eye roll, you're an idiot. Yeah. Here, I'm going to blah, blah, blah. Sorry. Now.
Yeah. Now can we just get on?
Now can you just go grow up?
Exactly. Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't bother. Don't do it unless it's real.
Yeah. Be authentic with your apologies. Because people can tell, right?
Totally. Totally.
I've definitely had people apologize for things that they didn't want or care to apologize for. And then we're sitting in the same spot. So we've talked about ownership. We've talked about impact. So what would be our next step? After we own the thing that we did to cause the upset, and after we've come to understand what the impact that we've had
We've
acknowledged it. Then what?
A good step before you move out of the impact stage is check in with them and say, like, did I get everything? Or are there other ways this impacted you that I haven't named?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good way to check in and let the other person say, no, actually that covers it. Or yes, thank you for all that. And there's this other piece. And make sure you get it all, because this is your chance to really clean house.
And that circles back to what we had said initially, which is the apology is not about you. It's about them.
It's about them.
So when you check in with them, you give them that space, then we're really, you know, doing what we can to make a whole apology.
That's right. Then after the impact piece, it may be appropriate to make a commitment moving forward. You know, in the future, I promise I will be on time with you.
There you go. That's a concrete one right there.
Right. Or I promise I won't crack a joke at your expense in front of my friends.
Yeah.
Or whatever the
thing
is. I'll
try to be more mindful about the things that I say before I say them. I'll try and take a step back and, you know, think about what it is I'm going to say before I say it. Whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then as an add-on to the commitment part, so this is what you're promising to do differently moving forward.
Yeah.
In some cases, that's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. In other cases, there may be some skepticism. Like if I've got a long history of being late and I'm just like, okay, I'll be on time from now on.
Yeah.
She's left wondering, sure, I'll believe it when I see it.
Sure. Yeah.
So a thing you can do to add some credibility to it and to make it more likely for yourself that you'll actually follow through on it is think about what you're going to put in place, practically speaking, to make that happen.
Right.
So with my sister, I could say, you know, I promise to be on time with you from now on. What I'm going to put in place to support myself in actually following through on that is anytime we've agreed to meet somewhere, I'm going to look up in Google Maps how long it takes to get there. I'm going to add 15 minutes and set an alarm 10 minutes before that.
Right.
So I can get my ass out the door.
Okay.
And that's like a practical set of steps. And I'm using some technology tools and like building a support system that has some chance of actually improving the outcome here.
And then actually stating that for the person so that they can see that it's not just an empty apology.
It's not just words. It's not just, I'm going to do a thing. It's, you've said that before. What's your strategy?
What's different?
What's your strategy for success here?
Right.
So it may make sense to put that in place too.
Yeah. And I think you talked about a check-in after you had talked about the impact. I think that this is another place where you might want to check in with the person like, okay, that's my complete apology. Like, how did that land for you? How are you feeling? Like, where are we at? What, you know, take the temperature of the relationship at this point. And that's not to say that they're going to forgive you right away, right? That's probably not the case. People are not just
going to... It might not be. It totally depends on the... Yeah, but so check in with them at the end.
Yeah. How did that land? Is there anything you need to say in order to be complete? Getting completion around it. I mean, that's really what we're doing when we're apologizing.
That's
we're trying to get complete around something, right? Or to take steps towards completion.
And when we say getting complete, what we mean by that is something's complete when there's no longer any aspect of it that's still lingering in the space
right.
between you and the other person. Like when something's truly in the past, it's done with.
Mm-hmm.
There's no residue or baggage from it that either one of you is carrying forward.
Yeah.
So 5 steps, right? Take ownership for what you did. Acknowledge
the impact
that had.
Yeah.
Make a commitment for what you're going to do differently moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
If appropriate, talk about what you're going to put in place to make sure that happens.
Yep.
And then check in with the other person. How does this land with you? Where are you at? Is there anything you need to say?
Mm.
So that's the 5-part anatomy of a real apology.
So then if that's what we're doing for an apology, what are some pitfalls that we want to avoid during the process? I would say, first of all, we're not trying to control the situation. And so if we're not trying to control the situation, we're trying to actually genuinely care for a person and display that, not display it, but genuinely do that, take care of someone, then something that happens sometimes is we want to rush someone to forgiveness, right? Hey, I said, I'm sorry. Do you forgive me? And that can take time. Sometimes it might be pretty quick. It might be, you know. It
might happen right at the moment.
And it might take more time.
They may need some time to process and digest. It depends on the closeness of the relationship, the magnitude of the impact.
Yeah.
And of the thing you did, right? Yeah. Like if I stepped on your toe, I'm sorry I stepped on your toe.
Right.
That must hurt.
Yeah.
You can probably get past that. But if it's, I'm sorry I had a 2-year-long affair and violated my marriage vows, that one's going to take a minute.
That's going to take some time.
If at all. You may never get forgiveness
there's no guarantee
on something
there,
that
right?
big, and you have no right to expect it.
Yeah. So, and we talked about that earlier, right? You're not entitled to forgiveness. So don't rush the person to forgiveness. Don't expect forgiveness. You're not entitled to forgiveness. You are doing what you can to care for them in this moment and acknowledge a breakdown and hopefully build a bridge, but that's where we're at.
And this is the thing, if the other person doesn't accept your apology right away or even ever, it doesn't mean it wasn't worth doing.
Right.
You're doing it for them and then also kind of indirectly for you, because you can come away from the experience knowing that you got your attention off of yourself. You genuinely took responsibility, offered a real apology to the other person.
Yeah.
And then gave them space and respected them to be wherever they're at.
And created concrete steps that you were going to take. I mean, that's the other thing. You can invite the other person to give you some ideas to what might help to, is there anything you need to see from me?
Yeah. And you're offering to rebuild a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that the bridge is going to get used again right away, but at least it's there.
Yeah. Sometimes apologies are not going to work. Even when you do everything right, you own your actions, you speak from the heart, you make a genuine effort to repair the relationship, and your apology still may fall flat. It might not get accepted. Worse than that, you might be ignored, you get ghosted, the relationship ends.
The worst possible response you could get is you offer the apology, you extend an olive branch, you mm-hmm. show up with humility, and the other person says something like, "You're goddamn right, and another thing," and they just stomp on it. That's the hardest one to stomach.
Yeah.
Here's where it's really, you want to swallow all your pride and really give them space. Footnote, if someone comes to you with a genuine apology, even if they don't get it perfectly and they're fumbling through, and if they don't have all the ingredients of the checklist we just laid out, but you can tell that they're making a genuine effort,
yeah, like
their intention
sincere.
Is clear, yeah. Don't ever do that. Don't ever double down after someone apologizes, because you're punishing a genuine effort to reach out, and you can be sure they're not going to do it again.
Yeah.
Right? Like, acknowledge the humility and the difficulty it takes for someone to do that and to be vulnerable and open up and offer an apology and be gracious in the way that you accept it.
Yeah. And then if someone does do what you just said, the instinct there is to get frustrated and, you know, "I said I was sorry. What else can I do? Like, what else do you want from me?" And then you just fall into the wrong mindset. Frustration can sometimes reveal that your apology was more about your own benefit than actually giving care to a person, which defeats the entire purpose. And then you're back at square one.
It makes it about you and your needs again, as opposed to you providing for their needs.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep your focus on them and trying to meet their needs. Get your own ego and yourself out of the way. That's the best you can do.
Yeah. It's not a guaranteed reconciliation, right? So there are some reasons why apologies may fall flat. There are some common reasons why. One is, we talked about, the wound is still open. Things are fresh. The timing is off. Or like you said, it's a deep betrayal.
Yeah. That may take time. Apologizing too soon before the other person has had a chance to process the emotions, like, someone else's emotional healing is under no obligation to follow your schedule or your calendar. That's their own schedule and their own calendar. And it's okay. If the wound is open, give it space.
Give it space. Give it time. You might have to have further conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to apologize again. You may have to take an inventory again and acknowledge the impact. This might be a breathing, living conversation.
Process. It's an organic, messy human process. I had a relationship end 5-6 years ago now. And a couple of months after, I had reached out to my ex to invite her to just get together and have a conversation to try to reflect on and complete the relationship, you know, on a positive note. And it was clear she wasn't ready. The way that she responded to my invitation, she was very guarded and sort of standoffish. And so I left it alone.
Yep.
And a full year later, she then reached out to me apropos of nothing and invited me into exactly that kind of conversation. And then we had the conversation. It was beautiful.
It was really
healing and really lovely. Mm. And now we're friends. But I had to give her space because she wasn't ready when I issued the invitation. But when she came back with it on her timeline, then it happened. So
We
were on different timelines, and that's okay.
Yeah. So other reasons why apologies fall flat: it feels rehearsed, it feels rushed, it feels hollow. We talked about that, right? Even if you've got every word technically right, all of the words are in the right place, the energy that you put behind them matters too.
Yes.
If it doesn't feel genuine, if it doesn't feel sincere, if it feels like you're just checking boxes to get out of that guilty feeling that you might be carrying around, or you just don't want to deal with somebody's upset, people can feel that.
That's a really good point. You want to be present with the other person in the moment and be with them in whatever their experience is during the conversation. And when someone feels that you're actually connected to them and you're not just doing a thing, apologies are more about being than they are about doing. And that's, if the being is off, there's no doing that's going to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. Another common thing that we might see is, like you mentioned earlier with your time stuff with your sisters, the history piece. Right?
Yeah.
If this is not the first time that you've apologized, or it's not the first time the issue has come up, especially if nothing has changed since the last time, then no matter how sincere you are, there's no way that an apology is going to fix a pattern of behavior.
Right.
So that comes back to, I understand the impact. Here's what I'm going to do to change that so that we don't have to have more of these kinds of conversations.
Yeah.
And that has to be sincere too. That has to come from a place of genuine change, right?
And in this case, and this is a point maybe we haven't sufficiently stressed in the conversation so far, if we're talking about a behavioral pattern, there's no set of words that's going to override a consistent set of actions that are hurtful. In that case, it's less about the words and more about actually changing your behavior.
Right.
If this is what it was with my sister, I actually had to start being on time with her, and I did, and I was, and it took, I don't know, the better part of a year of consistently being on time or 5 minutes early with her, time and time and time and time again, and she started to notice, and then she started to even acknowledge it and was gracious about it. And now if you asked her, she would say, yeah, you know what? In the last 5 years, you've been a lot better.
Right.
But it took some time because I was undoing many years of consistent.
Right. Well, you said it was 10 years at least.
It was probably 10 years of bullshit that I put her through.
Right.
You don't get to be on time twice and claim victory over that.
Yeah. That's going to take quite a lot of work.
The deeper the hole you've dug yourself into, the more you've got to shovel to get out of it.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. The other reason why our apologies might not land is the relationship has shifted in some way. Again, if it's been a really egregious, deep wound, things can change. Sometimes people move on. Sometimes people are so hurt that they can't accept the apology. Mm. They may appreciate it, but it doesn't mean that they're willing or wanting to rebuild the connection.
Say you had a relationship, romantic relationship or a friendship that ends, and you apologize for your part in it, the other person may appreciate the apology and they may still have moved on from the relationship. So they may appreciate the apology, they may accept it. That doesn't mean that they're going to want to go back to the way things were.
Yeah.
And they don't have to. Sometimes the relationship has moved on or ended. The apology is still worth doing, and the apology is not in order to get them back.
Yeah.
If it's in order to something, then it's not a pure apology, it's a tactic.
Yeah, right.
And if it's a tactic, it's not going to work. It has to be just for the sake of doing everything you can to make the other person feel whole.
Yeah.
With no conditions attached, no like, therefore we should be back together again or we should be friends again. That may or may not happen, and that's up to them. And for it to be pure and clear and clean, you want to be okay with that.
So we're not using this as a manipulation tactic.
And let go of the outcome.
Yeah. So the relationship may have shifted. That doesn't mean that you're being rejected. Sometimes things evolve in ways that we don't necessarily want them to, but we have to be gracious and we have to let people do what they're going to do.
Yeah. So the key thing here is you're apologizing without expectation, and then you're giving the other person space and respecting their own process, whether they graciously accept the apology and give you a hug and things are great again, or they give you silence. Or they give you the cold shoulder or whatever it is, like respect where they're at and let them be there. And this is where real maturity shows up. You're honoring the other person and staying grounded, not allowing yourself to get emotionally reactive based on whatever they do or don't do next.
Yeah, because the goal of an apology isn't to be forgiven. We've said that a couple of times now, right? It's to become someone who recognizes when they've done harm. You're taking ownership of it, and then you're committing to being better regardless of what result that gets you within this relationship. And that's personal growth. That's going to help you just become a more well-rounded and better person in your own life.
Exactly. That's rebuilding the bridge, whether the other person chooses to walk across it or not.
Yeah.
If you're into a homework assignment, a challenge for anyone who's willing to take us up on it, think of an apology that you owe someone but haven't given. And, you know, what would it look like to deliver a heartfelt, genuine apology to that person? What difference might that make to you, to them, potentially to the relationship? And take that on. And we would love to hear about it in the comments for anyone who takes us up on that challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, please. And if you've got your own sort of method for apologizing, maybe you've got some different steps you take, or maybe we missed something that you think should be in there. So we'd love to hear from you about that too. And then if you've gotten a really good apology, or if you, you know, reflect and share on your experiences with, you know, actual genuine apologies, we'd love to hear about that sort of thing.
And a little teaser for an upcoming episode, we're going to do one on the art of setting boundaries without being a jerk.
That'll be a fun one. All right. Hopefully you learned something here. And if not, well, I'm sorry that you feel that way.
I see what you did there. As always, we hope this was useful. Thanks for tuning in.